Rose back on the Boss Man Show, a friend of the show, Georgia State Panthers head coach, right in our backyard, Coach Rob Lanier. Coach, what's up with you guys over there, man?
Man, we just trying to take it one day at a time, brother. We working hard.
I hear that, Coach. I know we talked to you in the spring when we first got the gig, so talk to us about your transition so far and what's been the difference in your program from the spring to now, as we say in February.
Well, you know, our focus is just, trying to build the program. And, you know, fortunately for us, we got a group of guys that, for the most part, have bought into what we're trying to do. And I got great staff. We got a great support staff. We got great support from our administration. And so, I think the things that are important to us are starting to take shape. And on the court, we're getting better. We got a long way to go, and but we really do like the direction that things are going in.
And, Coach, I know you're big on the player development piece on and off the court. So kind of share with us a little bit about how you've got the on-court development with the young men and off the court, strength conditioning-wise, eating right, nutrition, sleeping well, and also getting those lifts in. You need to keep them, maintain them all year long.
Yeah, the whole developmental process is comprehensive for us, and it starts with having – again, good people on your staff. We got a great strength coach in Justin Landry, who came to us from Cal Davis. But Justin and I spent time together at the University of Texas. So we got a background and a history together. My assistant coaches are phenomenal and do a great job. And they understand the whole comprehensive approach that we're trying to take. And that can be said for everybody in the program, our graduate assistants, our academic people. And we operate on the basis of three core values that really mean a lot to us. Number one being we want our kids to carry themselves with a posture of humility. That's really important. And, we have an acronym that really is sort of a mantra for us called ENAM, I-N-A-M, and it simply means it's not about me. This is a great opportunity that these guys get to do what they love, to get a free education. And we need to treat that responsibly, to not carry ourselves like we're better than anybody. And that disposition of humility is one that I think gives kids the foundation to improve. Because if you think you got all the answers, then where do you go from there? But if you have a posture that says, I don't have all the answers, I do have a long way to go, and I want to get better, then we can reach it. So that's number one. Number two is a posture of respect. That you treat the people that you come into contact with, the institution that you represent, your teammates, your family, people's time, women, the law. You treat all these things with a level of respect. And again, it starts with being humble to begin with, but it's important that you convey that respect to people in such a way that they know that that you're a young man that's serious and understands the opportunity that you have before you. And then the last of the three things that we talk about is responsibility, and that's twofold. Number one, we want guys to take care of the tasks that's in front of them every day, their assignments, everything that they have to do on a day-to-day basis, that they take responsibility for that. And then their actions, to be responsible and accountable for the decisions that you make. And so those three things are the foundation for everything we do when you start talking about development. And it carries into academics, it carries into basketball, and your social life. That all three of those things we think encompasses everything that a young man is going to experience during his college experience. And it's important to us, and it's the foundation of, like you mentioned, player development.
And, Coach, getting 7 wins in non-conference play has to make you really happy because, you know, knowing Georgia State, you know, you guys have to go on the road a lot. You know, home games are hard to find in some Belt Conference, and you have to play a guaranteed game or two here to raise money for university. So 7 wins, first-year head coach, had to make you feel really good with that result there.
You said 7 wins?
Yes.
No, we got more than 7 now.
Oh, okay. All 7 and 9 non-conference?
In a non-conference. I don't know. I mean, we're 16-9 overall, and then obviously we're 9-5 in the league. So
I 7-9,
the non-conference. Yeah, 7 wins in the non-conference is very good. Like, and you just made a great point too. with having to play a couple of games to raise money for the program. That's always something that you got to do. And again, you know, we're still trying to develop an identity, you know, as a program. That's still rounding into shape. So, but the one characteristic that I think our group has that's helped us with that, JR, is that, you know, we got a competitive group. We have to improve our discipline in several areas on offense and defense. But in general, our competitive nature has continued to make us put us in positions to win our share of games.
Yeah, and I noticed that, Coach, about that. I noticed your team played some tough games there, and I feel like the tough games they played non-con now in the Sun Belt has made them harder, stronger, gave them some confidence, because you don't learn until you do it. You know, you can watch film all day, but you go out there and actually put the practice to work on the court in a game-style situation, you don't know if it really stuck. So I think your guys are getting that concept, and they're getting better. If you got to watch you guys, you're more cohesive, you're more together, you're more connected. So I'm liking what I'm seeing as you're going to this peak time of February into March here.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the rigors of a season. You know, the season is long, especially for young guys. But we have a lot of guys who didn't have a lot of experience, even a couple of upperclassmen who didn't play a lot. So we hit a point in the season where we had kind of hit a snag and our confidence wavered a little bit. And now we're in the process of working our way back out of that. And we have yet to play our best basketball. So the fact that we've got six regular season games left and then the conference tournament, there's an opportunity for us to really grow here going forward. So I'm excited about the possibilities going forward.
Now, Coach, defending the home court has been very important. GSU Sports Arena is a very unique place to play on second and third floor up there, man. So 9-1 so far at home, making you feel really good about your young man coming out there and performing for the fans of GSU Sports Arena.
Yeah. You know what? The support is starting to grow. You can feel it. You know, the energy in the building is tremendous. You know, I definitely urge our student body to come out and support their classmates. I think their work ethic and the character that they've shown over the course of the season warrants the support of their classmates. So, but the energy at the games have been really good. We dropped one last week, a game where we had a lead and should have taken advantage of that opportunity. But I think it humbled us enough, and I think it's going to help us going forward. But you're right. The home court has been good to us. And I think the energy in the building is really starting to grow.
Coach, you got a big weekend. App State tomorrow night. Then you got Coastal on Saturday, man. Talk about those two tough opponents you got. App State first, who you play tomorrow night, coming to your sports arena to play you guys this weekend.
Yeah, tough game. They're playing really well. We beat them at their place, but they were down one of their starters. So they're back to full strength. They're in the thick of the conference race right now. Dustin Kearns, head coach in his first year, does a terrific job, known for a long time. Very good defensive team, very disciplined offensive team. So they present a lot of challenges. And Coastal Carolina, they beat us pretty handily. Even though it was a 2-point game at the end, I think they had firm control of the game when it mattered the most. And so that was one of the only games in league play, really, you know, other than Duke and Georgetown, where the game itself, like, they were the better team that night. And so that'll be a challenge for us as well.
And, Coach, I feel like you're looking at your roster, man. You're putting a wall around Atlanta. A lot of Atlanta young men in the metro area on your roster. So how key is it going forward, Coach, that you want to build a wall around metro Atlanta to make sure that those young men know first and foremost, Georgia State's Atlanta school. Like we want you to be, we're Atlanta school. We want you to come here and play for us, play for a good program and have a good support staff and have great classes, great experience in downtown over the Decatur Street over there.
Well, I think the great thing about this area is that it's a great basketball community. There's a lot of very good basketball people here and obviously a great deal of talent. And what you want to do is find the right guys that fit your program in Atlanta, because when you keep guys close to home, you want them to have a great experience. And so it's important. And it's hard to build a wall around because there's so many good players and there's so much talent here. But what we do want to do is make sure that the guys who really fit our culture and the way we want to do things, that those guys identify with us and that we get the best guys for Georgia State from Atlanta to be here. But, you know, Atlanta is an international city. So we want to go out and get some of the best players from around the country that fit us or internationally, and have the right mix of guys to make sure that we could build the kind of chemistry that could elevate our program to the heights that we want to reach.
Coach Lanier, I'll tell you what, man, I'm just happy you're here in town doing the big things over there on Decatur Street with GSU, man. I'm happy for you. I know you'll get a head coaching job again. I'm glad you got here right in our backyard. We can support you and cheer for you like no other, man.
Man, I appreciate you, man, ever since you had me on the Bossman show back when I was at Tennessee.
Yes, indeed. I always show support to our brothers in the culture business. Well, Coach, best luck to you tomorrow against App State, against Coastal there on Saturday. We'll be cheering for you, and I hope you get that punch ticket to the big dance and lead the Georgia State back to there one more time, Coach.
All right, I appreciate you. Thanks, JR.
Anytime, Coach. Have a good one, buddy.
You got it, man.
Rob Lanier on the Boss Man Show.
Grab a hold of big breakfast flavor at Hardee's. Try two breakfast sliders for just $2.99. Get Applewood smoked bacon or freshly grilled sausage with fluffy eggs and golden melty cheese all on a toasty little bun. Good morning, start at Hardee's. Available now for a limited time at participating restaurants. Tax not included.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show here with Dane Fisher of the William & Mary Tribe here on the Boss Man Show. Coach, how things with you guys, man?
Things are going well up here. We got off to a great start in conference play. We started off 7-0, and we're really playing well. And then we haven't played as well here most recently. We're 1-4 in our last five, but I think a little bit of that is our guys learning how to handle some expectations, and I think a little bit of that is teams playing us as we're sitting in first place. So. We've got a big weekend coming up here. We play Drexel tomorrow night and Delaware on Saturday, both at home. So we're looking forward to those ones.
Well, Coach, we talked to you in the spring when you first got hired. Talk to us. What's about your transition so far from this spring to now in February here? What's the things about your program that's really changed since you took over and improvements you really liked what you saw out of your young men and your staff as well?
Well, the big thing that we did when we got here was we wanted to spend a ton of time with these guys off the court and really work on building the relationships with them and establishing our core values. And that's what we spent most of the summer and the preseason on. And then, you know, as we got into the season, we obviously started to work a lot more schematically on what we needed to do. And we were really fortunate that we inherited some really good players and were able to find some good pieces to go along with them. And even though we have a lot of new faces, we've got some really good experience with some of the guys that returned, and we brought in a couple of grad transfers that have played a lot of minutes. So we have a veteran team, even though it's a new mix together, and the guys have really come together on the floor a little quicker than we probably anticipated, which has been a big reason for the success we've had.
And Coach, where did you kind of prioritize over the spring, summer, and fall here before the season started, of course, development-wise, on and off the court with the strength coach, eating right, sleeping right, and also on court with skill development as well?
Well, so the first thing I said, we talked a lot about, first thing was we had to figure out what our roster was going to look like. So we had six scholarships when we got here, so we had to figure that part out first. The second thing was for us was, like I said, that relationship piece off the court with these guys and really getting to know one another and letting them get to know us. And then we spent a ton of time this summer in particular on skill development. And we really didn't do anything schematically. We just talked about getting our guys better and you know, just teaching them how to play. And then once we came together as a group was when we started to focus in on the scheme of how we wanted to play.
And Coach, just looking at what you guys did, it paid off really well because you got eight wins in non-conference play, which has to make you really, really happy. Don't want you to play guaranteed games, go on the road a lot, don't give me the home games, a lot of travel. So those layers being attached to it, getting eight wins was making you feel really good in non-con.
We felt great about our non-conference schedule, partially because, as you mentioned, how many games we had on the road, and that was just – part of the schedule that was in place and part of what we could get in terms of games when we got here. So I thought our guys did a phenomenal job early on of just, they really just didn't even think about, you know, where we were playing the games, who we were playing. They just worked on getting better as a team and getting better as individuals and just did a terrific job of that. And we had a great non-conference, especially given the schedule we inherited.
And, Coach, what do you feel like your team improved on most on the court from November to now in mid-February? Because I know us guys get more reps and more live reps and game reps. They get better and better and better. So what do you feel like your team really improved on court-wise from November to now?
I'd say the biggest thing that they improved on has been consistency. You know, we had a ton of games early where, you know, we won because we played really well offensively. And, you know, then we'd go into some games where we didn't play well offensively and we didn't really give ourselves a chance. And our guys have been more consistent with some of the little things. And we've been able to put ourselves in a position where, you know, we can win a game where we don't necessarily play great offensively and just make a ton of shots. And I think that's been really important for us.
And, Coach, also been big for you is the defending the home court. So far, you're 8-2 at home. We kind of mentioned you didn't get me the home games non-conference-wise, but since you got home games in conference, 8-2 at home, defending the home court, that's making you feel really, really good knowing your guys taking care of their home court in Leesburg there.
Yeah, it's been great. We've had an unbelievable atmosphere at home. We've got a great fan base here, and we've had some incredible crowds, in particular from our students, over the last few weeks since they've been back in school here this semester. So we've got a great atmosphere at our games. Our guys obviously love playing at home. And, you know, the other thing that we got coming up here with our program is we've just announced last week that there's a brand new practice facility coming, a renovations to our arena. It's a huge, huge project, and that's only going to heighten the excitement for home games for us.
You kind of mentioned in passing, but you guys are now 8-5 in conference play, in particular the race up there in the CAA, a very tough league. So talk about, Coach, the fact that you guys got 8 wins, got these games to go here to kind of position yourselves for that conference tournament you got coming up here real soon in March.
Yeah, this league has been pretty wild. You know, most of the times there's always the one or two teams that you say, these are clearly the two best, and, you know, the league's going to go through them. And, you know, this year in this league, you see the scores every night, and you're never really surprised by the results, and that's a credit to the balance in this league right now. So, you know, I think that there's a number of teams that you can say, you know, I could see this team winning the conference tournament, and you wouldn't be too surprised, and I think we'd be one of those teams that would be in that mix, and it's going to be about who can be playing their best basketball at the right time, who can stay healthy. Who can be playing with the right amount of chemistry and be able to execute their stuff. So, you know, for us right now, like I said, we have not played our best in our last, you know, 4 or 5 games, and our guys have really had a good response to that in terms of just, you know, kind of getting back to our basics and really focusing on the things that helped us have success early. So we're going to continue to focus on that stuff as we head down the stretch here, and it's going to be a really exciting finish. I mean, there's so many teams in this league that can make a run at it.
And you got Drexel coming up here. Coach Spiker does a good job up there with those young men up there at Drexel. Talk about what you said for those guys on film as you all prepare to play those guys here.
Well, the first thing with Coach Spiker, so he and I went to college together.
Oh,
and,
wow.
He was 2 years ahead of me. Was a student assistant when I played, and he was really instrumental in, you know, my development as a player, but then also helped me get into coaching. So he and I are as close of friends as you can really have in coaching. And he does an awesome job with his teams. When he was at Army, I was at Bucknell, so we compete against each other there. It's certainly a little different with us both being head coaches now, but they've got a great team, and their pieces fit really, really well together. Cameron Winter as a ball handling guard is terrific. He's one of the best ones in our league. They got a great big kid in James Butler who just dominates the glass. He's at almost 4 offensive rebounds a game. And then they space the floor really well with shooters and guys that fit with those two. And they're really tough. I mean, we played one of our worst games of the year the first time we played them up at Drexel, and they played terrific. So they got us pretty good in that first one, and our guys are definitely excited to get another shot at them.
Coach, you got a young man on your roster, Tyler Hamilton from Atlanta here. Talk about what he's meant to your team this year. He's a graduate guy. What he's meant to your team this year, and what you see for him going forward professionally after he gets to playing with your guys this year?
Yeah, the biggest thing with Tyler was just the experience that he brought. You know, he came to us from Penn and played on a team that went to the NCAA tournament. And he's an unbelievably smart player. He's a great competitor. He makes all the toughness plays, all the winning plays. His leadership and like I said, just that experience has been so important for our program. And he's really helped us in, you know, just have a calming presence on the floor. You know, he's in our MBA program, which is a 2-year program, and he's planning on being here for 2 years to finish that out. And then whether or not he goes and plays overseas and does that after he finishes, or if he tries to go do it, you know, next year and then come back for the MBA, I'm not sure. But I know whatever he decides to pursue professionally, he's going to have a ton of success because he's got all kinds of ability, not just on the basketball court. He's a really well-rounded person.
Yes, indeed. And, Coach, the last one I got for you is recruiting internationally. I said a lot of guys are in the roster with international backgrounds. Talk about the importance of recruiting guys with international backgrounds and selling universities to a young man who has an international background who wants to come there, will marry, and get a great education and play for a coach like yourself.
Well, I think the most attractive piece is what you just said, that opportunity for the great education that William & Mary provides. And, you know, it's a university that's known, you know, across the world. And when you're talking about guys coming over from a foreign country, they want a degree that's going to travel, and this one certainly will. We've had some good success with a couple of guys that just, you know, it just kind of worked out as we were looking to fill our roster this year. And found a young man from Latvia and another one who, you know, was born in Spain and has spent most of his high school career in Miami and then inherited a couple of guys. And, you know, most of those guys have a really high basketball IQ, really high skill level, and all of them have just been really, really great parts of our program, really coachable kids. And we've certainly enjoyed having them. And, you know, we always say in recruiting, if a guy's the best player we can get is 10 minutes away from us, we'll take him. And if he's across the pond, we'll take him too. So you got to look anywhere to find the great players and great fits. And we've certainly had that, had some good luck with that, with some kids from overseas.
Well, Coach Fisher, thanks for your time today. Best of luck to you against your buddy, Coach Spike. I'll talk to you real soon, Coach.
Anytime, man. Good catching up.
All right. It's Dane Fisher on the Boss Man Show.
Sally Beauty's new all-in-one hair color kits make it easy to color your hair at home. Get everything you need to color for beautifully radiant results. Loved by professionals, open to everyone. Sally Beauty.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show with a friend of the show, Utah State Aggies head coach Craig Smith. Coach, what's up, man? Off a big win last night. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, JR. How are things out your way?
Coach, hey, the All-Star break is here. Almost a day away. We get 4 days to ourselves, man. I can't wait for it, man. I'm telling you. Cleveland Cavs tonight. Beat the Cavs tonight and get home, man.
Well, I got to say, it's a great time of year. All-Star break, NBA's in full swing. College basketball is kind of winding down and a lot of excitement as we head into March Madness. So it's a fun time of year, and we're sure excited about what the Aggies are doing right now.
Man, Coach, I'll tell you what, man, second 20-win season, back-to-back years. They're 28 wins last year, 20 wins this year already. Big win last night. So, Coach, year two, how does it make you feel 48 wins already into your tenure at Utah State out in the Mountain West Conference there?
Well, Utah State's a great school. It has a fantastic tradition. And obviously, you know, I got hired from the University of South Dakota not quite 2 years ago, but close. And, you know, last year we were picked ninth in the preseason polls. And to win the regular season and the postseason championship in year one, when really nobody expected anything, and get to the NCAA tournament, and we were the 8th seed and lost the number 9 seed, Washington, in a tough game. But and then to kind of validate it, this year, you know, we still have 4 regular season games left with a 20-7 mark. We had, you know, we beat LSU in Jamaica. We were able to beat Florida in the Orange Bowl, in the Orange Bowl matchup. It's been a good year. It's been a tough year in a lot of respects this year than last year, just because we've had so many more injuries. Nemias Keita was a legitimate NBA prospect. has missed a lot of the year, but he's just kind of – then he finally came back, and then he got hurt against Florida, and he's playing his best basketball of the year and maybe of his career. Sam Merrill's been really banged up. He's a returning Mountain West Conference Player of the Year, and you can just see he's finally healthy. The last 2 or 3 weeks, he's playing at a very, very high level. Had 32 points last night on 12 shot attempts. I guess that coach needs to give him a few more shots. But it's been an exciting season, and I think we're really starting to play our best I know we're playing our best basketball of the year, and now we got to finish this regular season up on a strong note and hopefully make some noise in March Madness.
And, Coach, to speak at the right time, it starts back in the spring, summer, and fall, and especially with the strength coach, getting those lifts in, also eating right, sleeping right, because you got to maintain from November through March, as we both know. So talk about that piece of it, that strength and conditioning piece of it, the development of guys off the court for us getting stronger and sleeping right and eating right, because that piece is so important to guys not getting hurt, being healthy, being able to compete through adult in February into March where it counts the most.
You're right, JR. It's so many people. I still have my friends say, so what do you do all summer? What do you guys do? You guys go on vacation? You guys, and it's it really is a 24/7, 365-day deal. It's really a lifestyle for our student athletes and coaches, and one of the most important jobs in all of college athletics, quite frankly, is your strength and conditioning coach and having a good athletic trainer. And those two guys got to see eye to eye and work hand in hand. And, you know, over the summertime, we are now allowed to work out our guys 8 hours a week. And so between strength and conditioning and basketball, and we put a lot of emphasis on strength and conditioning and bigger, stronger, faster, improving agility and mobility along with your athleticism. And then the nutrition piece is huge. And, you know, you can lift all you want and train all you want, but if you're not feeding your body right and you're not getting the appropriate sleep and your lifestyle isn't what it needs to be, you're never going to get the maximum benefit. And so you do the best that you can that way, and you try to be as preventative as you can with injuries. But some injuries, you just, you know, it's hard to control when you roll an ankle. It's hard to control when you separate a shoulder. You know, there's just, so you do all you can with strength and conditioning and stretching and all of those kinds of things. But unfortunately, you know, injuries do happen. And so, but it truly is a 24/7, 365 deal. And it's always interesting because you can see guys come in as a freshman and they're this type of player. And then you see improvements as a sophomore and then as a junior. And then some other guys, you don't see that. And usually that just tells you how hard they're working and how dedicated to the craft that they become.
You got that right, Coach, and I feel like the hard work paid off good for you. You kind of mentioned a little bit of it. The non-conference schedule, 11 wins in non-conference, which is very good, knowing the tough opponents that you have to play and want to play because you want to challenge your guys. So getting 11 wins, Coach, how did you feel good before you tapped in that Mountain West play there?
Yeah, we put together a very, very aggressive non-conference schedule this year. We were able, like I said earlier, we were able to play Florida and LSU. Those are the only two high-major schools that would play us, and we were trying to play everybody and everybody, anybody and everybody. We also went on the road to St. Mary's. They'll come back to our place this year, play BYU. They'll come to our place next year. And so, and I could name a few more, but we really scheduled aggressively because we want to play the best, right? Bring on the competition. That's what's going to make you better. And so, you know, that's a big part of it is your intent in scheduling and getting out and trying to get as many quad one games as you can. You know, obviously the Mountain West Conference is a very good league, and it's a league that's really trending upward. I think we got some very good coaches in this league and certainly some talent and some young rosters. So the future's bright in the Mountain West. But at the same time, when you're not a member of a BCS league, you know, you don't always get those opportunities to play those quad one games over and over and over again. So you really got to schedule well and smartly in non-conference play.
You got there right, and I feel like the Mountain West is on the upside, like you said, Coach, and it should be shown more respect than what it is. San Diego State's been doing a great job this year. I mean, you guys have been doing a great job. It's been a very tough league. You guys are 9-5, and you probably want to be a little bit higher than that. But, you know, the fact that you're right underneath San Diego State, you know, main thing about winning that tournament anyway in March, that's going to give you guys the peak at the right time, like I mentioned earlier there. So the conference to me is in great hands. It's only going to get better, in my opinion, Coach.
Yeah, San Diego State's having a fantastic year. Only undefeated team left in all of college basketball. And we gave them two tough shots, but we couldn't pull it out. And hopefully we'll get another crack. But they're an excellent team. And then there's a bunch of teams just kind of in a logjam. But it's easy to see, being a part of this league for 2 years, that the league is trending in a very positive way, not only in the long term, but in the short term as well.
And, Coach, you gotta love this as well for you guys, man. Defending the home court there, been an emphasis for you, your team. 13 home wins, true home wins there. That's making you feel really good. Knowing your guys are focused at home, not letting any distractions get to them while they're at home there, playing well for you guys. Rabid fan base out there, man.
Yeah, we have an unbelievable fan base. Last year we were 14-1 at home, basically lost on a last-second shot. This year we're 13-1. Our one loss was at home against San Diego State, and so that's what 27-2 over 2 years. And you're right, our guys played with a lot of confidence at home, but certainly our spirit and atmosphere at the Spectrum. The Spectrum is the arena we play in. We actually celebrated on Saturday night, this past Saturday, our 50th anniversary of playing basketball in the Spectrum. And you know, quite frankly, it's one thing that really drew me to this job. Because it wasn't necessarily looking to leave. We had a really good team at South Dakota, and we were loaded for the and we were built for the long run. And but this was just a great situation, really connected with our athletic director, John Hartwell, and then just knowing the tradition of excellence of men's basketball at Utah State and seeing that environment on film in the Spectrum was just incredible. And you know, the Utah State fan base and the state of Utah, they love basketball. There's one pro franchise in Utah, and that's the Utah Jazz. They love hoops. And so when you look around the state, it's always been very good in basketball on a national level. And so it's so enjoyable to be able to come into our arena. And, you know, it was a sold-out crowd the other night on Saturday night. And almost every night out, it's a packed gym. So our student body is one of the best in America, the USU Herd, and they bring it every night. And so it's a really exciting place to play. And obviously our guys love competing on a nightly basis in the Spectrum.
Last one I got for you, Coach, is you got Fresno State coming up here. I'll tell you, wasting for those guys on film as you get ready to play those guys, man.
Well, they're a very talented group. They're very young. But they are talented. They have, at all times, you have five guys that can really go out and make plays. Their centers can shoot threes. Their power forwards can shoot threes as well as score around the basket. And all of their guys have some juice to them. They can handle it. They can get to the rim. They got great pull-ups. They can shoot the three. And so they play a ton of guys. And so it just puts a lot of pressure on you on the defensive end. And Coach Hudson does a great job. He's an excellent coach. And so we'll have our hands full with back-to-back games on the road, just getting back from our victory against Colorado State last night. Now we'll turn around and go right back on the road for another tough conference game on Saturday against Fresno.
Well, Coach, thanks for your time. Join me on the off day, man. Thank you, as always, Coach Smith. Hope to see you in March. Still hope you guys make the big dance once more and make a good run, man, and catch up with you then, man.
All right, JR. Appreciate you having me on, man. Go Aggies.
Yes, indeed. Go Aggies, Coach. Talk to you real soon, buddy.
All right. Hey, thanks for having me on,
JR. Anytime, man. That's Craig Smith on the Boss Man Show.
How do you feel about your office? Is it just a space for your company, or is it a space to help you grow your company? From new HQs to satellite offices, with WeWork, you can find a space that works for you. Visit we.co/spacematters to learn more.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show. Here with Coach Darren Horn, Northern Kentucky, out of the Horizon League up there. Coach, how you doing, man? Good to talk to you again.
Doing great, JR. Always good to be on with the Boss Man, baby.
Yes, indeed, Coach. Talk to us, man. We talked to you this spring when you first got hired. Your guys are playing real well for us. Talk about the program's improvements, how it's grown since you took over. We talked to you back in the spring when you got hired.
Yeah, you know, it's really been an interesting year for us, JR. We've had quite a few injuries and some key guys for long periods of time. And so we've gone long stretches without Jalen Tate, who's a terrific player that was returning, also Dantez Walton. In fact, we counted up the other day, we've only had our full roster available for four games total this year. And so I've been really proud of our team in terms of how they've responded to that. Guys have stepped up into different roles at different times and really adjusted and just gone out and competed and played well. And because of that, you know, we sit at 18-7 with still a legitimate chance to win the Horizon League in the regular season.
And, Coach, this summer and this spring, summer, and fall, what did you guys do with your staff to kind of get the young men to buy into your culture, buy into your system, and get them prepared for this run you're on so far? You said 18-7 for a first-year head coach in a new program is very amazing because you still never know how it's going to go when those not really not straight guys, you're a new guy coming in. So how happy are you? But what did you all kind of do to build that camaraderie, build those relationships, get those guys on the same page with you and your staff?
Yeah, you know, I think you bring up a great point, you know, being new and then even with a team that's won a lot, sometimes that's even harder. And, you know, I give our guys all the credit. They've been willing to be coached and been very coachable and let us come in and make the adjustments that we feel are necessary. And obviously not a complete change because they have been so successful and guys are comfortable doing some things. But trying to put our own stamp on it and help this particular team be its best, you know, returned a lot of guys, but did lose Player of the Year and Drew McDonald, and then also a 7-footer Chris Vogt, who transferred to Cincinnati. And so we really just hit the ground running, trying to focus on two things: that's conditioning, trying to get in great shape and to really improve these guys physically, and then player development, trying to make sure that each individual guy, JR, improved his game, sharpened his game up, expanded his game. So that our team could get better collectively by individuals getting better.
And, Coach, kind of made a great point about conditioning because I think our fans don't understand this about what you guys go through. You guys play pretty much 5 months from November through March. So you got to get those guys to sleep right, eat right, and also get those good lifts in and get that maintenance on them, their bodies, because they need to play hard for you twice a week, every week, and last till March to prevent injuries. So talk about that conditioning piece. The strength coach is very key, and the trainer is very key to keeping your guys healthy as possible. You know, you can't prevent a sprained ankle or a shoulder, but you can prevent a lot of things if you do eat, sleep, and prepare and lift the right way, for sure.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. And another key person we think is a nutritionist. And, you know, we hired a nutritionist and brought her in, a lady that's worked with the Indianapolis Colts, the women's national Gold Cup soccer team, also the Indiana Pacers, and really tried to attack the nutrition piece. You know, I think Dantez Walton is a great example of that. We got here, he had 19% body fat, which is extremely high, especially for a player his caliber. And really largely through eating and improving his eating, you know, he got down to under 10%. And then, you know, until he got hurt, was on pace to be Player of the Year, had 30 three different times. And so you're exactly right, JR. That whole dynamic of taking care of yourself, as they say in the NBA, the best availability or best ability is availability, right? So how you eat, how you sleep, hydrating, the recovery piece that you mentioned, really taking care of yourself is big, and I think our guys have made big strides with that this year.
And relationship-wise, Coach, you know, Northern Kentucky has been good for years on Coach Brandon, and they're under you now. So I know when you pick up the phone and call a young man, Northern Kentucky's on the phone, the guys feel good with it. They're a good school. They go to the tournament. They have a good coach now. So how's the recruiting piece been treating you and your staff with this? You guys are up there now and doing well already this year.
Well, I mean, I think you said it, you know, I mean, because of the success that John and his staff had and because of the type of commitment we have here, the facility that we have, and with my track record of what we were able to do at some other places, and then the number of NBA guys that I've been fortunate to be around, you know, the recruiting has been very receptive. You know, we've been really pleased with the caliber of player that, you know, has been open to us recruiting them, and no more so than you know, the two high school guys we signed in the fall. You know, we think Trey Robinson out of Hamilton, Ohio, and Marquez Warwick, who's going to be a Mr. Basketball candidate in Kentucky from Henry Clay in Lexington, is going to be, you know, are two guys that are are going to be outstanding players in our league. And so, you know, again, that's a testament to the tradition of our program, the job that John and his staff did, and hopefully, you know, our track record as a staff with developing guys.
And, Coach, all I have to say is, by my opinion, Coach, that Louisville and Kentucky go after those one-and-done guys a lot. So at least a lot of guys in Kentucky, in the Ohio area, Cincinnati area, who for you guys kind of can pick from, because those the big schools in Kentucky really don't look that way for the guys that you want to get you a diamond in the rough and develop the young man, get him in your program, develop him, and you got you a world beater come year two, three, and four there.
Yeah, no question. You know, we talk a lot about, as a staff, you know, do we think that guy in February of his sophomore year, could we be in the NCAA tournament or a non-conference game against a high major team, and people kind of flipping through the program or getting on their phones and saying, dang, where'd they get that kid? You know, I mean, those are kind of the guys that we're looking for. And as you said, you know, there's schools in our area, Cincinnati, Xavier, of course, Louisville, Kentucky, Indiana. You know, they're going to go after a kid that's, you know, maybe that we're not going to go after, but you know, the guy that we get, you know, we feel like can compete with those guys. Maybe they just need a little development, or they need to mature a little bit in some way, or the best basketball is ahead of them. And, you know, that's really our focus. That was my focus at Western Kentucky. And, you know, we were fortunate on our 316 team. We had seven guys that went on to score 1,000 points in their college career. And so, you know, we feel like we can get those kind of guys here as well. And you know, and they already have. I mean, you know, Dantes Walton is that kind of guy. Tyler Sharp is that kind of guy. You know, Jalen Tate is that kind of guy. 1,000-point scorers that really are capable of competing against guys at a higher level.
And, Coach, you got 8 wins in the non-con. Had to make you happy. So for our fans who are really understand this, you guys got to play some guarantee games as well. You don't get many home games. You have a great arena you guys have that Cincinnati used for a while there. You have a great arena, but you can't get many home games in the non-conference league. So you got to go on the road a lot. You know, got to – people don't want to play because you're good, too. So the scheduling piece is always difficult for, you know, Kentucky and also going on the road. So to get 8 wins with all those layers that's attached to it has to make you really happy in year one for sure, Coach Horn.
Man, JR, we were really proud of our team to get those wins in the non-conference, in large part because, as you say, the scheduling is tough. And we had actually upgraded our schedule from the past. On average, our non-conference schedule was 40 points higher in the KenPom than it had been the year before. And several of those were road games. And so for us to be able to have a more challenging conference schedule to win a bunch of road games in that non-conference schedule and do it in large part without a key part of our team, Jalen Tate, who only played 2 regular season games or 2 non-conference games before he got hurt. You know, we were really proud of that. And I think it was something that we used to springboard into conference play, to where, you know, we've been able to, you know, to this point, only lose 3 games and hopefully can keep it going here down the stretch as we improve.
Can I speak about that, Coach? 10-3 in Horizon League play, because, I mean, it's a tough league, Coach. You know that. You know, even Milwaukee's improved. Green Bay's improved. Scott Nagy does a great job of Rice State up there as well. You know, you got Coach Campy in Oakland, the OG of the conference, so you know he's going to be doing things his way. So you get up and down the league, you got great coaches and great teams. So being 10-3 has to make you really happy. So what have you seen in your first round through this conference this year, through the Horizon League, as you get ready to play these last few games down the stretch here, if you're seeing guys again for a second time here?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think you touched on it, JR. I mean, it's a league that top to bottom has really good coaching and really good players. And, I mean, I think even a guy like Dennis Gates at Cleveland State, I mean, this guy's going to be a rising star in our business. So glad that he got a head coaching job. And, you know, his team's playing to his identity. They're very tough. They're very physical. They're really trying to guard you. They know who they are. And, you know, I think top to bottom, it's a challenge every night. You know, UIC, I think, is maybe as talented as anybody in our league, and it has terrific coaching, and you know, with Steve McClain, a guy who's been a head coach before, had success at other places, and so you know that you've got to show up no different than you do in the so-called Big Five leagues. And you know, if you're not at your best, you can lose home or road. And you know, I think that's what you want in league play. And I personally, and this is just my taste, having been in leagues that do it both ways, I love the round robin where you play everybody twice, man. You get a real feel for teams. It challenges you the second time around as everybody makes adjustments, and it gives you a true champion at the end of the year.
You got there right, Coach. You kind of mentioned about the home court. You're 10-2 at home, Coach. You know, you have a great arena up there, man. It's a nice place you guys. Talk about your home crowd, how your guys feel off the home crowd there. The fans come out and support you guys. Northern Kentucky out there, man, and you're 10-2 at home, which is very key in a Horizon League play because you want to win all your home games if you can. It's still on the road there.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we had over 6,000 for our most recent home game on a Saturday. It was a terrific crowd against Oakland and, you know, really made a huge difference. And, you know, we haven't got that elusive sellout yet, though, JR. That's what we're going for, man. I came out on Saturday and I saw a few seats in the corner filled upstairs, but still hoping for that night here down the stretch with four more chances where we get that complete sellout. And the corner's completely filled all the way to the top.
I hear that, Cole. That's what I got for you. You got IUPUI tomorrow. You know, I remember those guys when they had my man Ron Hunter, who used to be at IUPUI. So I've kept my eye on him since that point in time. So, Coach, what are you sitting on the field for those guys at IUPUI? You ready to play those guys tomorrow?
Yeah, no, we appreciate that. You know, we feel like, again, as we mentioned, every game is tough in our league. Got two terrific perimeter scores and been really dangerous at times. And so we got to be ready to play every night, and IUPUI is no exception.
Well, Coach Horn, best luck to you tomorrow. Hope to see you at the Final Four in Atlanta here. If you're not in it, hope I'll see you there if you're not in it, Coach. But hope to catch up with you all come down here for your meetings and have a good time down here doing that weekend, man.
Always a pleasure to be on with the boss, man, brother. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Coach Horn. Best luck to you, buddy.
All right, thank you.
All right, it's Darren Horn on the Boss Man Show.
Grab a hold of Big Breakfast flavor at Hardee's. Try two breakfast sliders for just $2.99. Get Applewood smoked bacon or freshly grilled sausage with fluffy eggs and golden melty cheese all on a toasty little bun. Good morning, start at Hardee's. Available now for a limited time at participating restaurants. Tax not included.
All right, folks, on the Boss Man Show, we back at 3 weeks in a row. Boss and Bone, the Boss Report, featuring all Florida stories as you love. Bone, my man, what's good, brother? How you feeling, man?
I'm doing great, man. Just happy to be back on the Failing Show, ready to get this Florida Man news popping because we did it first.
Yes, indeed. We're brother man. We're going to start us off really good. So, folks, you've been waiting on it. It's time for it. It's here. It's the Boss Report. Bone, did you see the failing picture of the fucking tan line of the Florida man is occupying the house in D.C. that's white of his apartment? He called it Photoshop. You see that?
Yeah, I seen that picture. It's a credit to that tan line is the truth, man.
Goodness. And he got impeached. His story, his speech up, he's ripped up by Pelosi. He got acquitted by the Congress GOP, and he called a Senator Joe Manchin, Joe Munchkin, and he thanked himself, Mr. President, on Twitter. Florida man in the White House in D.C. is acting fool, as always.
A Florida man that's telling a certain guy in Milwaukee.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Here we go. Florida man arrested. Calling the police to report being shot at by the man he robbed and stabbed and peed on.
That so first, let me ask, what ilk is this guy?
Not our color.
Oh, so then he already had the privilege card. So he tried to rob someone and then got shot at in retaliation, and then he kind of blamed the dude. Was shooting at him?
Yes.
Oh yeah, that is the highest. The highest rung of privilege that there is, then I don't know what is.
Very, very high. Very, very high. And get this. Florida man arrested after kicking an officer, leading a chase, been engaged in a standoff, which anybody trying to jump out of a window into a treehouse, ends with him living. Not one of us.
Oh, yeah, well, I was going to ask that again. I was going to ask what else. Girl. I didn't even have to ask that. But anytime you lay hands on a police officer and you live tell about it, I already know what's up. But the fact that this dude, so he's a stuntman, he hopped out windows into tree houses, that tells me that he was also probably highly enumerated.
Yes. Yes, he was.
He did it.
His mugshot looked very, very like he was on something for real.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Florida man with Chinese connections arrested, Bone, for misspending grant money on stocks and bonds and 401ks, forcing cancer center to return $1 million to the Florida Department of Health that were misused by the thieving Florida man investor.
This dude stole money like that?
Yeah. Trying to invest it in his own businesses.
He run the game backwards, but you know what? I know, first of all, the ilk, but I want to know how much time did he get?
Probation.
So I retract that earlier statement, Your Honor. I said the other guy had the highest rung of privilege. This guy doubled up on that privilege. That is amazing.
Probation.
If that was you or I, we're under the prison. Okay, probation.
Yeah, yes. This story may make you a little happy for our ilk. Florida man arrested after driving van into tent full of Trump supporters.
Oh, my God. Really?
He wasn't our ilk either.
Wow. Really?
No.
So he drove a van into supporters?
Yes, of Donald Trump. Tent full of them, yes. Wearing the red hats.
He's a Florida man who's anti-Trump?
Yes.
That man... I'm not advocating violence to anyone, but that man deserves, I don't know, accommodations? I don't know. Just to be a Florida man and to be anti-Trump down there, that he is a daredevil.
Well, I'm one. I'm a Florida man anti-Trump, so you have two.
There you go.
got at least two.
Good point.
Oh, yes. Florida man arrested for duping valet parking employee to let him take a Rolls Royce for a joyride, promptly crashed it after being drunk at a 0.32 BAC.
Wow. I've only seen that concept on movies and TV shows. I always kind of wonder, would that ever work in real life? And there you have it. It actually worked in real life. Now, the fact that he crashed it, he messed up, obviously. But that's almost ingenious on his part. And then that's just being a dumbass valet also.
Very much so. Both of them have now lost their jobs, I'll guarantee you.
Yeah, guarantee.
Florida man firefighters fired after getting into a fight on a medical call for trying to holler at one of the victim's family members.
Well, he got a pickup line on to a victim, a member or a family member?
Yeah, two firefighters who wanted to holler at the victims or family member got to fight over who should get the number.
See, I've only seen that again in the movies where the scene in A Wedding Crashers where Will Ferrell's character made a habit of picking up chicks at funerals. I never thought that actually would happen in real life. That is unbelievable.
Yeah, having a chest pain attack, but you're trying to holler at the woman in distress, get her phone on. Really? Y'all fighting about that? It's gracious.
She must have been amazing.
Trust me, she wasn't. I saw the video.
Oh, well.
Jeez. Well, it's nothing I would talk to. How about that? Nothing I would holler at. I'll say that. Oh, yes. Florida man sheriff deputy caught on video threatening high school kid who's trying to leave the school parking lot to go to a dentist appointment.
Why is he harassing a kid trying to leave? Because he thought he was cutting class?
I guess he did. He pulled out a gun and everything on dude.
Oh, okay. So he pulled out a gun, too, on the student?
Yes.
May I guess what the student was?
Not us.
Oh, wow, really? Not us?
Yep.
There's a turn of events I didn't see coming. So he saw this kid thinking cutting class, and all he want to do is go to dentist, huh?
Yes, he had an appointment. With a note.
Oh, Florida. And he had a note, too, so he had proof.
Oh, yes. Here we go, though. It's getting good now. Florida woman, first grade teacher, arrested for trying to buy meth while at school just to contest to up the PET teacher's rectum. Really?
I was waiting for a Florida man story with meth. and it happened to be a female too. So we hit the triple bonanza right there. We hit it. So Florida man nude, female and meth, and she's a teacher, right?
Yeah, trying to stick a test tube up the teacher's butt because she wanted to get with him because her husband ain't giving her nothing at home.
Meth will make you do amazing things, huh? It's a hell of a drug.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Man, here we go. Even more Florida woman stories. Florida woman arrested in Pembroke Pines besides polystyrene after asking customers that she want a happy ending by her topping him off.
Did she's offering?
Yes.
So she's listening and she got busted, huh?
Correct.
Was there a certain owner of an NFL franchise also around the area?
I don't think it was him this time.
Oh, okay, all right. Just checking. After.
Oh, goodness gracious. This story will blow your mind. Florida man arrested applies Johnson at a Mexican restaurant as payment for his meal to the bartender.
Were he offered up some services?
Yes, they said, please take this and finish it off as payment for my meal.
I want to ask how big the meal was, but I don't want any double entendres. Hey, whatever gets you a free meal these days, I mean, you know.
Woo, that was terrible. My God. It gets worse. Florida woman exposed herself at seafood restaurant to waiter to get him to give a discount on the meal. Says, quote, you can eat this. Why eat that?
Oh, my God. So she's offering a clam chowder while eating clam chowder. Oh, good Lord. I got to say, whatever gets you by, get you a free meal. But I don't know, man. That sounds highly nasty.
Yes. And this is nasty, too. Florida man avoids jail after headbutting cop, digging in his butt, put his finger in the cop's face, calling him a fat effer.
So he body shamed this dude. He body shamed the cop, gave him a butt finger and a headbutt,
and avoided jail.
So I'm gonna guess that he's not tough, right?
Correct.
That's because, like I said, that on the rungs of privilege, that's pretty high up there. When you lay hands on a cop and stick your nasty butt finger in his nose, and you don't get wet up. I mean, that right there tells me that you had the golden touch.
Yeah, you don't get rung up for that? Come on, now. Like, really? No strike three, you're out? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Florida woman arrested after stunning husband with a taser after he asked for a divorce.
But he wanted a divorce?
And she stunned him with a taser.
And so he tased him.
Yes.
Man. I mean, it ain't that serious. I mean, if you want to go, then go. I mean, maybe he had the bread. Maybe he had all the bread, and then there was no prenup, so she knew she was gonna be ass out. Maybe. I don't know, because, I mean, you know, if you want to go, then go. I'm not chasing nobody to stay with me, man. If I chase you, you're not there anyway.
Exactly. So, yeah. Like, we got three more to go here. Florida man pretending to be McDonald's cashier fakes taking order, takes cash, and then pees on the manager and on the floor. Deputy say.
Wait, but how did he get in the building and get a McDonald's uniform first place?
He got one out of storage closet.
They didn't have a uniform line. First of all, you go to McDonald's, like there's a counter there and there's a door. How do you get to that door walking through and no one knows you? And, you know, walk into a closet nonchalantly and put on a uniform. So honestly, I'm not advocating getting peed on, but you kind of deserve to get peed on if you're gonna just let any old person walk through in your place of business, take the fly closet in uniform and wear it, and then start serving cats. You kind of deserve to get peed on, man. I'm sorry.
Yes, indeed. Get this. Florida man sends sister to the dentist to pick up his dentures. dentist refused to give her the dentures. This patient must get them. Man then threatened us to come down there and, quote, shoot up all you MFers.
Shoot them up?
Mm-hmm.
So, he is a she, you said?
Yeah, a man. Saying sister to go get his dentures.
Oh, so
they wouldn't give it to her. He'd say, I'm going to come there and shoot all y'all up for not giving her my dentures.
Nah, he's not a bus, right?
No, he's not.
So, he made a terroristic threat. That's for terrorism. So, he walked in and caused a terroristic threat publicly. And he's okay, right?
He's okay.
See, let me tell about it. So, like I said, there's that rung again. There's that rung of ladder again. Where the
misunderstanding, they say.
If I walk to anywhere publicly and say I'm going to shoot the whole place up, there is about 10 squad cars instantly.
Correct.
Amazing.
The final story is this. Floyd had been arrested for stealing drills, batteries, WD-40 to pay for his ankle monitor fee.
He paid for what?
His ankle monitor. His GPS fee for his ankle bracelet.
WD-40?
Yes. Drills, batteries, and WD-40.
In order to get off his ankle?
Yes.
That cat watches too many Bugs Bunny cartoons. That doesn't work, man. Come on, man.
Yes, indeed. But Bone, Izzy's Boss Report, what is your take on this week's report, man?
My take is that I need some of that privilege, man. Because anytime you can go around just slugging cops, headbutting them, giving them butt fingers, fat-camming them, and you will live and tell about it, and no one's going to do anything to you, I need some of what they got, man. How are you one of those?
Or be the stunt devil jumping out of windows on the tree houses and...
Yeah, the stuntman too. I mean, jumping out of windows like he's the stuntman himself. Like, it's just... Oh, Florida, man. Florida's always on it, man. I am impressed with the amount of asinine things that are found in your state.
Exactly. Exactly. So am I, man. So am I. Well, folks... At the Boss Report, Boss and Bone. We out!
And if you don't know, now you know.